Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be ever acceptable before you, O Lord, my strength and redeemer. Amen. Before I went into church ministry, I was actually a soldier in the army, serving with the Household Cavalry, not very far away from here, just in Windsor. And because of the regiment's close links to the royal family, royal visits to the barracks were common. I can remember one summer when the late Queen came to visit. For the weeks leading up to her visit, the barracks underwent preparation mode. The old grass was pulled up and new grass was laid down, which was promptly roped off to ensure nobody would walk over it. The armoured fighting vehicles were cleaned, boots were polished, brand new cutlery was laid out in the officers' mess. The regiment was offering up its very best. Our passage today from John's Gospel is a story all about offering up to God the very best. Here we see the wonderful account of Mary offering to Jesus her best. Martha was busy serving the dinner, the disciples watching on, Lazarus enjoying his regained life, having been recently raised from the dead, and in comes Mary. She bows down before Jesus, producing a jar full of pure nard, an extremely costly perfume, which she then proceeds to pour all over Jesus' feet. Then, untying her hair, she uses it to wipe Jesus' feet, the fragrance of the perfume filling the room. And Jesus' disciples looking on, most probably a bit uncomfortable at the sight of a woman letting her hair down in the presence of men. The question is, what is Mary doing by this action? I believe that the answer is twofold. Firstly, she's anointing Jesus' body for his burial because of the death he was soon to face. It was necessary for him to be anointed beforehand. Jesus explains in Mark's account of this story that she has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. But I think this story is also a picture to us of worship. We see how Mary's worship was intentional, how she offered up her very best, how she chose the better option. Our worship to God should likewise be intentional. We should be offering up to God our very best, and worship for us should be that better option. Worship should be intentional. We can worship God anywhere, but to do so is a conscious decision whereby we turn to focus upon him. This scene here illustrates a very important fact concerning worship. We could be gathered amongst believers. You could even be in the very presence of Jesus and still miss out on the worship. Worshipping the Saviour is a personal action. This story has strong parallels to the account of Jesus' visit to Mary and Martha that's found in Luke's Gospel, where again we see Martha working hard, and again Mary instead present at the feet of Jesus, this time learning from his teaching, in order to worship God. We have to choose to turn aside and to fix our focus upon him. Through looking at Mary's worship of Jesus, we can learn a valuable lesson about the nature and place of worship. Mary was not in the temple nor the synagogue, but rather she was in Simon's house. Likewise, our worship of God should not be contained only to our church buildings or to just one day of the week. I say this not to diminish Sunday worship, which is a wonderful example of intentionally taking time out to worship God and to focus upon him, but also to exhort a practice of worship that carries us through each day of the week. That was key for Mary, that she was dwelling in the presence of Jesus. There's a wonderful little book called The Practice of the Presence of God. It recalls the spiritual life of a 17th century monk called Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence is someone who literally practiced dwelling in God's presence. He spent most of his time as a monk working in the kitchen of his Carmelite monastery. where he developed a habit of worshipping God in all situations. Brother Lawrence encountered God's presence while washing the dishes in a way that was as equally valid as his time spent praying during the monastery's daily prayer services. The book describes an associate of Brother Lawrence recalling Brother Lawrence's teaching. It was said enormous self-deception to believe that the time of prayer must be different from any other. We are equally bound to be one with God by what we do in times of action as by the time of prayer at its special hour. His prayer was simply the presence of God, his soul unconscious of all else but love. Brother Lawrence saw this not just as a decision, but as a practice. In order for him to worship God in all situations, he had to develop a habit of consciously turning towards God. And God can be a very real part of our everyday actions of our lives. And by developing practices of turning towards God, we can worship God in the everyday situations and places that we find ourselves. Mary's worship was not only intentional, but it was also her very best. Like my old regiment preparing for the Queen's visit, no expense was spared. The costly perfume, we are told, was worth nearly a year's wages. Mark's account of the story has the jar being broken open and poured out. Mary did not choose to keep some back for herself. Instead, she gave up all that she had to Jesus. Mary's sacrifice was costly. It was the ultimate expression of her love and worship of Jesus. The sacrificial system in the Old Testament speaks often of how what is offered up to God should be our best. In the first chapter of the book of Malachi, we see God's displeasure at the people of Israel offering up lame and blind animals for the sacrifice. Why should, asks God, the people offer to him, their God, what they would not offer to their earthly governors? Jesus affirms this principle to us in the story of the widow's offering. God is not concerned with the appearance here, but with the heart. Offering to God the best of our time, or resources, or energy, is acts of worship. Romans, as we saw earlier, that verse tells us that even our bodies can be offered up as living sacrifices. And this, Paul says, is a spiritual worship. Worship is the better choice. We saw earlier how Mary had on a previous occasion chose not to be distracted by the chores of the house, but instead had chose to sit at Jesus' feet to hear his teaching. And in this encounter, Jesus describes this as the better choice. And so also when she chooses to anoint Jesus with the perfume, she is choosing the better action. Brother Lawrence, in describing worship, went as far as to say that the goal in life is to become the most perfect worshippers of God that we can be. Choosing to worship God is not just a choice, but it is the best choice. The Bible often tells us how even nature itself worships God. The popular hymn, "You Should Go Out With Joy," recounts the metaphor found in Isaiah where the trees of the field will clap their hands in joy at the Lord. Worshipping God should be the default position for us. God wants us to worship him because it is the correct response of creation towards its creator. God wants us to know him. And in worship we express our loves towards him. It is not an empty action. When we look at this passage in John, we are left asking ourselves some hard questions. Do we more easily identify with Martha? She was preoccupied with serving God that she didn't take the time to dwell in his presence. Or Judas, who motives aside, was reasoning such an action to be too extravagant. Or do we identify with Mary, who in worshipping Jesus chooses the better option? Amen.